Hello and welcome to the Sound of Economics. Today we are here for another special edition of the backstage series from the annual meetings of Bruegel, the Brussels-based economic think tank. I am Giuseppe Porcaro, the head of communications here at Bruegel, and speaking here with Scott Marcus, senior fellow at Bruegel, right after the panel about the artificial intelligence, robots and platform workers, what future for European welfare states. The panel was together with Jamie Haywood from Uber, Anne Mettler, the head of the European Political Strategy Center at the European Commission, Alexander Stubb, the vice president of the European Investment Bank, and Professor Laura Tyson from Berkeley, California. Scott, what were the most important ideas discussed in your panel?
First, I'd like to emphasize that I had some really superb panelists. They had a tremendous command of the subject matter and were very good at presenting it. I actually opened the session by pointing out that in a time of tremendous technological change, with artificial intelligence, machine learning, big data, Internet of Things, that there have been concerns about the rate at which jobs might decline or change. One of the key reports that kicked off a debate a few years ago was by Fry and Osborne, where they predicted that as many as 47% of all jobs in the United States were at risk of disappearing within just a couple of decades. Obviously, that raised eyebrows, but today hardly anybody takes that prediction fully at face value. Clearly, some tasks will be automated. Whole jobs don't necessarily disappear. Most predictions today talk about job loss, perhaps 10%, perhaps less. Some of our own results suggest that areas that have the highest density of robots today actually have lower unemployment than average for Europe. So there's a real question what the impact will be. What everybody agrees is that there will be a massive transformation, that there will be impact on a large number of jobs. Difficult to predict exactly what that impact will be. Now, with that, the question becomes, how do we deal with this? How do we deal with the transition? How do we ensure that workers get sensible benefits relative to the kind of work that they're doing? Years ago, people tended to have full-time traditional jobs. That's been declining. Far more people in recent years have part-time jobs or other kinds of complex mix of jobs. Platform workers, like, for instance, Uber drivers, often are treated as self-employed, which means that their access to benefits in many European member states are perhaps limited or conflicted. Also, some people change, even in the course of a single day, from one status of work to another, from self-employed to part-time employee, for instance. And the question of how their benefits add up in that case are complicated. So these have been issues that are very much on the table and that were very much the focus of the discussion today. Now, in remarks from Anne Mettler, the head of the European Policy Strategy Center, she talked specifically to this as an issue that she had been charged with at the point when the Juncker presidency first came into play. On the one hand, they needed to respond to the economic crisis, but on the other, they felt the need to address polarization and dislocation in European labor markets that was being caused increasingly by automation. And with that, they put a lot of work in, and ultimately were able to get agreement from the heads of state on a European pillar of social rights that actually attempts to enforce these rights. There's also a council recommendation that puts that into a more nearly legal form, still without full legal force, but making much more precise the idea that non-traditional workers and self-employed workers also need social protection. And what do I mean by social protection? Typically, one talks about pensions, health insurance, maternity and paternity leave, disability or invalidity insurance, and also unemployment insurance, although in some ways that's the hardest because for those who are self-employed, what exactly is unemployment?
This sounds all super interesting and somehow, I would say, controversial in terms of what the future direction would it be, because obviously if, as you pointed out, everyone is somehow agreeing on the fact that there is a big transformation, which is the direction of this transformation and how this transformation will impact those benefits that you, for the citizens and for the workers that you just mentioned, it's still quite an uncharted territory, I would say, or at least a big subject of debate. So following up on this, you mentioned the position of Anne Mettler and her research at the European Commission. What was the position of the others? You know, you had an American academic, but you also had a representative of one of those platforms in your panel, and also another actor like the European Investment Bank. So I'm quite curious to see if there was a divergence of opinions and how those opinions were articulated over there.
There was actually pretty substantial agreement on the main points. Now, the American academic that you're referring to is Laura Tyson, but she's not just an academic. She was also a senior official in the U.S. government. And she's also doing research on exactly these issues in Berlin right now. So she's looked at the position on both sides of the Atlantic and was extremely knowledgeable. She presented quite a bit of research on the degree to which job loss could be expected. And her contention is that the historical record suggests that in general, there won't be a net job loss. There'll be dislocation. There is possible concern with the speed at which jobs are destroyed versus the speed with which they're created. But the net-net total number of jobs probably will maintain the same or increase, which was interesting. What she and Anne Mettler both said was not only that it will be necessary for social protection to deal with some of the transitional issues, but also that education and training is going to have to change. Anne Mettler had said, quoting an OECD source, that in the EU we tend to be overeducated but underskilled. And the concern is that even today, even after years of knowing this, that the transition to a lifelong learning way of operation is really lagging, that we still have rigidities in the educational and training system, and that those are going to have to be dealt with. But the panel didn't get too far into how we deal with those. I think that's an issue for the future.
I'm curious about whether you discuss something around policy proposals or recommendations. I mean, you are saying that there is not, I mean, you haven't gone too much far on the topic within the discussion about that. But eventually, if you grasped some hint about policy recommendations from the panel, or if not, I mean, what would be your own take around that? Because obviously, this is a big issue where policymakers need to start to take not only an exploratory stance or like just studying the phenomena, but there are things that will move very, very fast and very soon.
All of the speakers had policy recommendations, and Mettler representing the commission, I think her position largely was that the measures already undertaken already get a discussion going that was long needed, long overdue. I think there's a lot of truth to that. Jamie Haywood of Uber had some fairly concrete suggestions about what policymakers should be looking at. This is based largely on research that they've done on how their own drivers operate. First, that flexibility should be in both directions and should be full. This is interesting, by the way, because the historical literature on labor flexibility was mostly talking about benefits for the companies. Mm-hmm. But it's clear that an Uber driver enjoys a certain flexibility of timing, of when to work and how to work, and clearly also benefits from flexibility. And Jamie was arguing that, that the research that they've had done by academics suggests that their drivers really value that. Better. He also suggested three other measures. Better protection for the drivers in general as being something that's needed. They've done some things on this. There's certainly more that needs to be done. That people in platform work need good work and opportunities for growth. And fourth, that there's opportunities for access. For example, they have drivers who are deaf. Now, who would have thought that? But in fact, it's perfectly feasible. I happen to have one once, by the way. So again, it's an opportunity. You know, many of these technology aspects are sort of a double-edged sword. And on this broader issue of a double-edged technological sword, Alexander Stubb, the vice president of the European Investment Bank and a former prime minister of Finland, had really interesting, provocative remarks at the opening of the panel. And there, really, he had some recommendations that dealt not so much with future of work, but rather with the broad approach to these technologies in general. He was arguing, first, that in a world with basically three players, US, China, and Europe, we really have to cooperate on technology and implicitly on the policy issues that are related to it. We can't simply ignore the other poles in this three-pole world. Fostering competition was a second point that Stubb made. A third was fostering innovation. This, of course, is an area that's very much in need for Europe. It came up very much in one of our other panels, the one that Reinhilde Feugler chaired earlier in the day. A fourth point that he made was that Europe is really a regulatory superpower, and that if we focus on smart regulation, we can really drive a lot of positive change in the world. He didn't specifically mention GDPR, but I think it's the natural poster child for exactly this kind of approach. Finally, he argued that questions of ethics and artificial intelligence were likely to become really prominent in the coming years. I thought this was a provocative observation as well. Perhaps not a surprising observation, but nonetheless an important one. So for me, it was a great honor to chair this very, very interesting panel from very senior speakers, and I think it was good, and I'm pretty sure that the audience very much appreciated it.
So thank you very much, Scott, because that all sounds super interesting indeed, and very large. You managed to touch not only the topics, strictly speaking, related to workers and the changes in the workers, but as you say, even more like broader philosophical aspects about artificial intelligence, which indeed is something that we are going to tackle on an ongoing manner in the next years to come, and will be a very fascinating discussion. I'm pretty much sure about it. So thank you to you and to all of our listeners for joining us. You've been listening to a special edition of Backstage from Bruegel, the Brussels-based think tank, part of our podcast series The Sound of Economics, live at the Bruegel annual meetings. If you are interested in more of Bruegel's work, we have an array of blog posts and publications available at our website, www.bruegel.org. I hope you join us again. Until next time, bye-bye.